and both can be signs of God's blessing, depending on the need. But it is foolish of man to assume that he knows what each thing means. Like when Jesus approached one particular man, they say, "Why was this man born blind? Was it his parents' sins or his own?" And to them it seemed like a good question. And Jesus said, "Neither. Neither. It was because the glory of God might be revealed in him. That's all." You know, we can suffer things for no other reason than for our good, that the glory of God would be revealed in us. There's so many things. You know, if you are, when I say this, if you are God's elect, then why are you not prospering? Why is there not this? You know, if you're God's elect, then surely you must be doing well. God favors his elect. You could find all kinds of scriptures in the Old Testament and other places that you could misuse to try to question everything and to test, put God to the test. Not just through, like, trying to put yourself in harm's way, but by using them as a test. The way the apostles taught that we test ourselves is by we see the works of God happening in us, that we prosper in righteousness. And God wants to prosper us in the world, but the righteousness prospering is paramount. So the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. Oh, look at all the kingdoms, all the power. Isn't that what Jesus came to be, a king? He says, "All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." He promises much and asks even more. "Get thee hence, Satan. You shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." This goes back to me and to what I was saying before. Whoever commits sin is sin's servant. That's what Jesus taught in John chapter 8. It is a parable of all sin, you know? If you will kneel down at the altar, it offers so much. "I will give you all my treasures, all the kingdoms of the world. But you will become its worshiper." So many sins are like that because they call you back to the altar. You know, liquor calls you back. Pornography is calling you. You know, it's all calling to you and drawing you and saying, "Come, return and serve me again. Bow down and worship me. I'll give you everything." You know, your sins, it is a separation. It's something that is completely distinct between man and God. It's God. Has no sin. Yet he made man who sins. And the things that tempt man, God also made. But it is the lust within man that causes us to be tempted. Jesus did not lust after evil things. Therefore, he was able to resist temptation. It may sound like I'm almost cheating. I'm saying Jesus cheated almost because he was tempted in every point like us, but meaning he was subject to the same things tested him, but they didn't test him the same. But we need to put on Christ. We need to put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus to righteousness and godliness. We need to change by the power of God from glory to glory, from an old lesser glory to a greater glory in Christ. We need to grow up into him. That is the promise of the new covenant, that the laws of God would be written in our hearts as they were written in Christ. Because it was in his heart always to obey, always to do the Father's will. Verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is on the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In that scripture, that's from Isaiah 9. Well, that's also the chapter I was quoting where he talks about, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This is always considered a messianic passage. So his ministry began in the area around Naphtali and Zebulun and Galilee. So Jesus began to preach the same message that John had preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. It's a remarkable account. You know, and the way it's portrayed in the narrative is straightway, right away. You know, in another account, Peter's calling is given in a little more detail. They began to follow him. That was his calling to them. I will make you fish men. And we'll look at the more in-depth accounts of their calling in another gospel when it's given. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel is that good news, that thing preached, heralded. The kingdom of God is coming. Therefore, repent. Change your mind. Shuffle your priorities. It is time for you to prepare yourself for what is coming. It is always true. You know, Christianity is about preparing ourselves. The kingdom of God has come. And right now, it's within us. Continuing verse 23, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. You know, it's generally equated that possessed of devils is similar to what we would think of as mental illness or insanity or things like that. You know, we don't know what a devil is any more than we really understand what mental illness is. You know, they scan the brain and they see, oh, their brain is different, right? They see different energies on the brain as far as parts of the brain active. Oh, this is abnormal. And they use medications to suppress. But, you know, maybe there's more to these things than science really understands. What I'm saying is that the terms are not as important as the effect. The Christ was able to drive out